from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is why I'm such a loser.
Now, do I know how to milk a cow?
No.
Have I ever milked a cow?
No.
But you put a cow in front of me and it's ready, I can milk it.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
See, Lucas can't do this without expecting me to bring it to the air.
What, show up at 1 o'clock when he's the boss today?
Listen.
Sorry, Luke.
Everybody worries about saying something wrong on the radio or doing something. But what kind of a guy walks into the studio 15 seconds before we're supposed to go back on the air?
Yeah.
He looks at you and says, tonight's the night. And you say, yeah, I don't know about for me. And then he leaves. What, I'm supposed to let all that information there without asking any questions?
What is going on here?
Thank you, Bob. That's what I want
to
know.
I'll tell you what's going on. That's an A-B conversation. You need to see your way out of it.
I'm in the studio. I'm sitting here already.
He's not talking to you.
I hear it. It's not even overhearing or eavesdropping.
I know there's an I in Steiny, but it was not about you. He was checking in with me to see if I, you know, me and Luke, same age, same interest, unless it involves what apparently he's going to tonight. Because I wasn't
on board with it.
Bill Graham. Auditorium.
Too soon.
What do you mean?
Yeah. All right.
Flew over my head. Sorry.
Right. So something's going on at Bill Graham Auditorium tonight.
Well, someone tweeted me about the Twilight Zone, and I had no clue what they were talking about.
It used to be a show on television. Now, well, it was made into a movie. And what I told you was the movie actually is not one movie. It's four vignettes.
I thought it was just a figure of speech.
What?
You know, you're in the Twilight Zone.
It used to be a show with Rod Serling.
Is it of color?
No, it was black and white. Mm-hmm. It was. But Jonathan Lithgow in the movie was phenomenal. Great movie.
I know John Lithgow.
Yeah, he's great actor.
Footloose, right?
Yeah, maybe. I didn't see that movie. Is it Footloose?
Yeah, he's the preacher.
Yeah.
Doesn't want the kids to have fun. Sound familiar?
What are you getting at?
Just play the sound.
All right. So the Celtics went up 3-0. We can talk about Luka. Luka fouled out with 4 minutes left.
Yes, he did.
Brian Windhorst, ESPN, fair or foul?
I thought it was perfect that Luka fell onto the ground there in an unacceptable position to put himself in with 4 minutes left with five fouls, and then immediately looks at the bench and says, you better bleeping challenge it, as if it's the bench's fault that he just made a terrible play. I'm standing here in the Mavericks tunnel. Over there is the Celtics tunnel. That's where the winners are. If Luka's ever going to be a winner coming out of this tunnel here, he is going to have to use this what's happened in this finals as a learning experience. His defensive performance is unacceptable. He is a hole on the court. The Celtics are attacking him. They are ahead in this series because they have attacked him defensively. And you've got a situation here where Luka is complaining about the officiating. They have begged him. They have talked with him. They have pleaded with him. He is costing his team because of how he treats the officials. He's a brilliant player. He does so many things well. They are here because of how he did. His performance in this game is unacceptable and the reason why the Mavericks are not going to win. He's got to get over this. And the fact that he came out after the game and blamed the officials showed me he's nowhere close yet. So maybe over the summer, somebody will get to him because nobody with the Mavericks or anybody else in his life has. And that's where the Mavericks are at this point. They're never going to get to this tunnel with the trophy if he doesn't improve those aspects of his game.
Before you address that, I'm just wondering if you're a sports fan and you hear that, is that the quintessential hot take, or is that something where you're saying, you know what, it was harsh, but it was calm and measured, and Windhorst has a point. But go ahead.
Well, first of all, that is my kind of hot take. Like, there were no wasted words. He was able to involve, if you're like actually watching it, you know, he draws your attention to the opposing tunnel. He uses a couple symbols and he brings it back in. It is a hot take wrapped about as perfectly as any Christmas present. It was very, very well done. And I love Brian Windhorst. I think he's really smart. When he says something like that, also because he isn't a hot take artist or a hot take performer, it does mean more. So I appreciate that. Nevertheless, and he kind of baked it in, so I can't necessarily rip him completely. Like the Dallas Mavericks are not as good as the Boston Celtics. No one was going to say that LeBron James in 2017 on this day 7 years ago didn't get it done because he was crying to the referees against what we perhaps believed to be the greatest team ever assembled in the Steph Curry, KD, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala Warriors. No one would ever say that. I would argue he's able to go after Doncic only because he has not won a championship yet. If I asked you who leads the playoffs in total points, who would it be?
Probably Doncic.
What about rebounds? Same answer. What about assists? Oh. There's a theme here. Luka Doncic.
Doncic leads in all three.
In all three. Also, I mean, also leads in total steals.
In fairness, he's... Once you get to the finals, you're only competing with six guys.
Yeah, look who's on the other team.
I'd be interested to know what the averages are.
The average points per game? Well, I mean, Joel Embiid leads with 33, but he didn't make it out of a single round.
No, listen, My point is,
Luka Doncic has done literally everything under the sun for a Dallas Mavericks team that anybody watching this series with a single basketball eye can tell you is extremely lopsided in terms of talent. The Dallas Mavericks, after three games, are clearly not good enough to win the NBA Finals. And I don't believe that it's because of Luka Doncic. I would prefer to believe it's because the Boston Celtics are just the better team. That's my big take. That's why the Finals haven't been that interesting to me, honestly, Steiny. It's because these two teams are in different categories. And I feel like anybody watching these first three games can see that.
All right, here's the way I would respond to that. Yes. Okay. If I go along with your premise of these two teams are lopsided in terms of talent, did we think that 10 days ago before the series started?
I did.
I didn't.
Okay.
I'll be honest with you. So I got a buddy back east in game one. He's like, I got to tell you, I love the Celtics in this series. And I said, why? He goes, I'm not crazy about Dallas. And I said, well, we had just watched Dallas come off the Minnesota series where Kyrie and Luka Doncic basically couldn't be guarded. And
I thought Dallas would win that series.
Yeah, but coming into the finals, the reason that I gave Dallas a shot was because I thought that they had a chance to possibly have the two best players in the game, like, on their team. Mm-hmm. In other words, Luka's the best player in the series and Kyrie's second. Like, I thought that was a possibility. Not that they were necessarily, but that in theory they could be and outplay Boston's three guys. But now you watch the series and you realize they've got players way more equipped than Minnesota to guard those two guys. And what happened to all these role players that broke Minnesota's back in the Western Conference Finals? You know what I mean? Like, Lively, what's going on? What's going on? P.J. Washington, I mean, those guys were integral against the T-Wolves.
Well, and I do think it's interesting that the only time that Dallas really made a run yesterday was when P.J. Washington started shooting the ball well. I mean, and that's what they did against Minnesota. I don't think the Timberwolves had a consistent enough second or third option offensively to compete with what the Mavericks did. The Mavericks clearly don't have a consistent enough third, fourth, or even fifth option to combat what the Celtics do. So, there's a chasm between these two teams, I feel.
Yeah, well, now, and I'm not saying, oh, now, but yeah, now I can see it.
Well, I didn't think it would be a gentleman's sweep, but
Who's the third best player on the Mavericks?
Depends on the night.
Exactly. And that's where I think I got fooled a little bit, because against Minnesota, when you say it depends on the night, that was a strength almost against the Minnesota Timberwolves, because it was somebody was popping up every game that was different. But the Celtics are doing something defensively.
See,
where
I think that people believed in the Dallas Mavericks being able to beat the Celtics, not really because of the Mavericks.
Well, that's another big part of it.
It's
You're
because
right.
of the Celtics.
You're right.
It's because last year they didn't show up for the finals, right? Because they got knocked off by a 7 seed. And the recency bias tells you that the Boston Celtics are not buttoned up enough to win a title. And who knows? This could be the only one that they win with, you know, two of the, I would say, most well-equipped players to compete for titles.
Right.
Brown and Tatum in the Eastern Conference should have you in the dance a lot. And I think also a lot of people in the Bay Area, there's still some residue left of 2022. Like, I don't think Jaylen Brown is that much better of a player now than he was 2 years ago.
Well, here's what I would say, and I was thinking about this when you were talking. I remember I just said, it was a throwaway line a few months ago. I said, you know, looking back at 2022, I'm not taking anything away from the Warriors. But, you know, looking back at 2022, I didn't feel like the Celtics were ready to win a title. Like, they just weren't ready. I think they're ready to win a title now, and a lot of it had to do with 2022 and last year. But my final thought was, I don't think the 2022 Warriors team beats this version of the Celtics. And I know it's a hypothetical, but that's, to me, the difference is Drew Holiday. He's good, man. He's good.
Yeah, he is, and he's a proven winner.
Yeah,
I also think that the front office told on itself a little bit in regards to its two top stars when they went out and traded for Drew Holiday. If the same, I do disagree with you a little bit. Like, I don't think that the team that the Celtics fielded 2 years ago, if they were kept together, would win.
That might be right there. You might be right.
I think they needed Drew Holiday, and to some extent needed Kristaps Porzingis. I think that's why Stevens went out and acquired those two players. Yes, because he could, but because those two guys, Brown and Tatum, hadn't demonstrated that they could get it done with the guys around. They needed to be shaken up. Like, this is why, again, they're a different team from last year. But to bring it back to the last segment, the 2017 Warriors had the exact same net rating as this version of the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics statistically are in the same category: regular season wins, offensive rating, net rating. On paper, they are in the same category as the first KD and Steph-led Warriors team. But the eye test tells you they are a chasm away from each other.
What about defensively? Do you know off the top of your head?
Defensively, I think because of scoring in the NBA, they give up more points. But if you give me a moment, I'll look at it.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if they're comparable or not. Zach's in Redwood City. What's up, Zach? How you doing, man? What do you got?
Hey, doing good, guys. Doing good. So I want to make 2 points. My first is, my buddies were talking about it. I want to know your thoughts. Like, how much better of a series do you think it would have been if the Timberwolves would have won? Because I know that I don't think they're getting swept by the Celtics, that's for sure. And my other point is, I'm a Hoosier. I went to Indiana.
Okay.
I saw the Mavs play 3 times this year. I saw them play on the 23rd of December and at Chase Center. I saw them play up in Portland, and then I saw them get smoked by the Pacers at home. So I kind of saw this coming, but I never would have expected the Celtics to play the way they're playing, especially given that Tatum is not playing well. So thanks for my call, guys.
I mean, look, I one of my buddies is a monster Celtics fan, and all year long, even though they won 64 games, he was kind of lamenting about they're just not buttoned up enough. And they seem pretty buttoned up right now. I mean, look, the other thing is
their food.
I hate that phrase.
What?
God, do I hate that phrase.
Why?
I just do. I don't know why.
It says a lot without saying much.
It says nothing.
What are you talking about?
It's I don't like it.
Say more with less.
I was also a prisoner of the moment because think about this for a sec. After Minnesota beat Denver, people were actually talking about Minnesota being one of the greatest defensive teams of all time. Of course, we got to do that. We got to hyperbolize. But Minnesota was an unbelievable defense. They were unbelievable.
Incredible. And Michael Jordan, too.
But Luka and Kyrie, they couldn't guard them. They could not guard Luka and Kyrie. So one of two things has to be true. The T-Wolves aren't that great defensively, or these two guys are incredible offensively. And I chose to believe the latter. And the Celtics have shown that they can defend these two guys well enough. And maybe it's just a matter of the Celtics have a much better team than the Timberwolves, like with better. And I think the talent level on Boston has been underrated. Like, they have a lot of talent. Their top 6 or 7 are really good.
They do. I mean, and that's where I think there is some comparison to the 2017 team, is that if you just look at the top 6, I don't know who else has a better top 6 or top 7, like, in relative to the league. Like, in 2017, if I just go down and I tell you that you're going to be matched up with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, and I think David West might have been the 7th man for that team. Like, who in the league has a better 7 than that? Right now, if I tell you that Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Drew Holiday, Derek White, Kristaps Porzingis, Al Horford, and I guess you could throw Peyton Pritchard in there. Nobody else has a better top 7 than that team. And yes, I know that Boston, well, I don't have to say play with their food, but maybe people felt like they underachieved, or I don't know, they punted, they blew a few games, or they messed around a lot this season. I think the coach has something to do with it too, that Mazzulla isn't your prototypical, pantheon head coach. And so people wonder if he's somebody who's the issue. I'm just saying that they have an overwhelming amount of talent, and I think that's why they're going to be champions. But people won't look at them like they are an all-time team. And that's the interesting part to me, because the Warriors will always be remembered as a top team. And maybe, excuse me, out of Hall of Famers, I don't know.
But think about this. When we think about the all-time greatest teams, don't we always pick one out of a dynasty? For example, the Bulls. That might have been the greatest team, 72 wins. Okay, they won 6, so it reinforced that. Who else considered the great? The Boston Celtics, 86
Lakers.
Teams. The Lakers, they won 5 in the 80s. The Celtics, they won 3. So I do think that the Celtics have opened up the opportunity to become one of the greatest teams of all time, but they're going to have to win probably 2 more in the next 3 years. You know what I mean? That's The only team I could ever think of that had 1 year where they won it and they're considered a month, like the 19, what was it, the 83-76ers. They won one title, and a lot of people think that was one of the greatest teams with Malone and Irving and Cheeks and Andrew Toney and Bobby Jones. What's that? Yeah, they went 12-1 in the postseason.
Okay.
So, Leroy's in Oakland. What's up, Leroy? How you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, Steiny? What's up, guys, man? Hey. Just tuning in, and I was listening. And, you know, my Steiny, you know, my youngest son, I told you before, he went off to college, a Golden State Warrior fan. And he came back a Dallas Mavericks fan. So I told him, you know, as long as you're living in my house, I'm going to give you hell. Nothing good will come to you. And so before the series, you know, I was tongue-in-cheek. Yeah, you know, Boston's going to sweep them. Boston's going to sweep them. But now what I told him yesterday seriously was this falls at Jason Kidd's doorstep because he continues to put Luka Doncic at guard position. And I remember the 2011 Dallas Mavericks team when they won the championship. You know, Dirk Nowitzki, he was playing forward. And I just think that if you move Luka Doncic down to either the power forward or the center spot, then he can conduct his guard duty from the paint. I mean, he could turn around and face a guy up and walk him to the three-point line, or he could, you know, fake that and cross him over and go back to the hole. But I just think he's operating from the wrong spot, and they don't have enough guys, you know, to depend on, you know, Washington. And, I mean, these guys are young, and so you really have to depend on two guys, and that's Kyrie and Doncic. And when one of them is off, at the guard position, it just doesn't look good. So I just wish Jason Kidd would see that and let Doncic work from the paint. I mean, he's a mismatch every time down there because he can do so many things. He's 7 feet, and then he can conduct his guard duties from down there. He can pass out of the paint, and so I think that would open up a lot of stuff for Dallas, but they want to have him out there as a 7 foot point guard, and this is where we're getting. So just want to try.
No, you know what, Leroy, and there's something to what you're saying, and the reason I say that is because I think before the series started, and I just said it like I say a lot of things, but it had some merit to it, was, oh, man. Remember when they were saying Kyrie and Luka, this might maybe the best offensive backcourt ever.
Yeah.
And, like, the first thing that came to my mind was, Luka's a forward. He's a forward. I mean, I know he can bring the ball up court, but whatever. He's, like, he's a forward. He's 6'7", for goodness sake. Of course he can bring it up. But there is something to what Leroy's saying about, if your two best players are always handling the ball, then you better have a really good third player. And I don't think they do. Like, I actually do think that Dallas with this team should look at playing more traditionally with Kyrie is the point guard. And why can't Luka Doncic try to be like Nowitzki? Or even like a Larry Bird, where he's a small or power forward, and he doesn't start every possession with the ball in his hand. I think there is a little something to that.
I mean, and I also think if you're the Warriors watching this series,
Luka's not 7 foot; he's 6'7", 6'8". There you go. But
no. I just think that what the Celtics are telling you is you also have to be able to shoot. Like, you have to have 4 or 5 shooters on the floor to compete at that level. I mean, everybody on the Celtics can shoot a three.
Yes, they can.
Not particularly well, all of them, but that's what they do. So I was just looking at some of, like, the greatest teams ever, just record-wise, right? And maybe the Celtics are not in the 2017 Warriors category because you were saying it has to be part of a dynastic run. Well, the guy who we were talking about yesterday, Jerry West, he only won one title.
Right.
That 72 Lakers team won 69 games, put together one of the greatest stretches in regular season history. The 1971 Milwaukee Bucks, won 66 games. They lost two games in the postseason. And then, of course, the 83-76ers like we were talking about. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to believe that people will look back on the Celtics team as great. But I think it's hard to do for me just because I've watched them. I watched this. I didn't see, you know, the Bucks, the Lakers, so I'm not sure how those played out. But, yeah, I can look back at Basketball Reference and say, well, they had Kareem and Oscar Robertson. You know, the Lakers had Jerry West and Wilt Chamberlain. I don't know if we'll look back and say, having watched these players play, say, God, they had Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Like, there's not that dynastic quality, or that, I don't know, just all-time quality.
Attached. I hear you. And I guess the question I'd ask is, did we see that with the Warriors after their first title? I kind of didn't. I mean, and I'll admit I'm wrong. I was wrong. But when I saw the Warriors win their first title, I thought, you know, they're good, but that was their first title. They got some breaks. And then I thought, they got some breaks there, so maybe they're not head and shoulders better than the rest of the league. And then they come back and win 73 games, and you're like, and they put on an unbelievable show. It was the regular season of that second year when we started to think, oh my God, this team may be one of the greatest teams of all time. And that was even before Durant.
And I think it's because they got better. Like, they won the championship.
That's
and they
right.
came back better. Steph came back better. Everybody did.
All right, what's coming up next on The Game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
Because you're living in my house, I'm going to give you hell. Nothing good will come to you.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Darryl the Guru Johnson. Guru will be back tomorrow. I want to get into this Joey Chestnut thing because I swear to God I find it fascinating. I've never had a Nathan's hot dog.
Really?
And I never will now.
That's actually
sure.
pretty good.
I'm sure it is, but I will never have one. They have officially stuck it to Joey Chestnut. And I swear to God, like, it's radio strong. But I feel strongly about this. So let me explain.
It's a joke. That he's been banished for Nathan's hot dog.
That's correct. And let me explain what's going on. So Nathan's holds the most famous hot dog eating contest on July 4th.
The only one, yeah.
But no, there are others. There's a major league eating league now.
Nationally televised.
So anyway, Joey Chestnut dominates, but he just had, like, it's named Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, and they serve Nathan's hot dogs, and he goes there, and he wins most of the time. It's just called Nathan's. He gets an appearance fee, and like a couple travel expenses, but it's just called Nathan's, and he wins. Okay, enter Impossible Foods, a plant-based burger.
Also good.
They endorse him, or he endorses the product, and they sponsor him. So now he's sponsored by Impossible Foods, a plant-based burger. Nathan's says, we can't believe he's now being sponsored by a competitor. We don't want him in our contest. You got to be kidding me. First of all, Nathan's is just the name of it, and he goes and wins it. Secondly, when has a plant-based burger ever competed with a real burger? It's not the same thing. It's an entirely different product marketed to completely different people with different eating habits. I got to tell you, I think they're doing Joey Chestnut wrong. I don't think it's fair.
I don't think they're doing him right, but for different reasons, actually. Like, I could see it, someone Impossible saying, you know, this number one carnivore on planet Earth, like this Tyrannosaurus Rex of hot dog eating competitions, if he's thinking about going vegan, other people might also. I mean,
Joey Chestnut can eat anything under the sun faster than you.
Yeah, like if Jesus Christ came out and said he was a Muslim, I think a lot of Christians might have a problem with that. But
Joey Chestnut would win an asparagus eating contest. He's so that good.
Yeah.
The other thing is that, and here's what I like about Chestnut. He's trying to stick it to Nathan's now because he's going to eat off with Kobayashi on Labor Day now. That's right. They're forming a super team like the Warriors did, and they're gonna do an eating contest on Labor Day. And you know what? And I got to tell you this. I didn't know this was coming, but this is a wonderful, wonderful text that has now made my day. As a lifelong Steiny hater,
you want to read the rest of it?
Finally, I have some respect for him. Absurd that Joey Chestnut is not eating.
Well, and
the greatest athlete of my generation.
That's where Nathan's messed up.
Appreciate it.
Thinking that they were bigger than the sport.
Exactly.
That's why I dislike Nathan's, because they think that they own eating hot dogs. Telling Joey Chestnut he can't participate in the July 4th Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, first of all, it's just become the Hot Dog Eating Contest. Nathan's is just a brand that sponsors it and that happens to host it because a couple guys back in 1914 decided to measure their level of patriotism by who could eat the most hot dogs.
Yep.
That's the origin of the story. And so if Nathan's is telling Joey Chestnut that he can't go and compete in this whatever competition, you know what? Have it outside, because that's the most patriotic thing that has happened in the last 100 years. Telling Joey Chestnut that he can't be a part of the July 4th hot dog eating contest might be the most un-American thing I've ever heard in my life.
I completely... And here's the other thing. Hey, Nathan's, why don't you sponsor Joey Chestnut? Pay him money like Impossible Foods is. Why isn't Chestnut a spokesman for Nathan's making big money?
Money time!
This is...
Because they're trying to take advantage. Penny pinchers. They're calling the 49ers. They're penny pinchers.
I want to see a brand analysis. Which is bigger, Joey Chestnut or Nathan's hot dogs? See, I didn't even know it was hot dogs. I almost said burgers.
Well, we just found out. You know why? Because I'm going to be locked into Joey Chestnut versus Kobayashi.
Oh, I'm boycotting the July 4th.
Can we get a third entry? A grizzly bear? Because I'm taking Chestnut.
Do you ever see it? I mean, it's unbelievably impressive.
Well, it's also a little physically concerning.
Well, I think Dibley has interviewed Joey Chestnut many times. We'll talk about that on the crossover. Yes, Kay.
Yeah, real quick. What kind of hot dogs are they use? Because if they're smart, they'll go with the other East Coast, which I think the better brand.
Burke's Franks?
No. Sabret.
Oh,
you know about Sabret?
No.
Every hot dog vendor in New York City uses Sabret.
Okay.
If you know, you know. So I think they should get in on the game.
Why not? And here's what I would like to see, this kind of hot dog eating contest, though. Don't let them soak it. Don't let them soak the
hot dogs.
Well,
they have to. That's the whole point.
I know, but I would like to see the dry. They should have a wet.
It doesn't make it any less impressive. It's got nowhere to go.
Have a wet version and then a dry version. You know what I mean?
You know who's been missing out for the last, however, I don't know, half century of it, who to sponsor, who to clean up on this? Is porta potties. I swear. They have missed a massive opportunity to sponsor hot dog because they got to go somewhere, and they can't get to a public bathroom quick enough.
Bobby's in Los Altos. Hey, Bobby, what's going on, man? It's a joke.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Nathan's...
First of all, thank you for finally addressing a sports topic that we can all get around. So, number one, look, the competitive league of eating or whatever it's called is obviously a very fledgling league. Their promoter, what's his name? George O'Shea, I think. George Shea. He's quite a salesman. But the fact is, it's a small league, so... What are they supposed to do? Anger the title sponsor of their most famous eating competition? So I guess I can't really blame them at all doing whatever Nathan says or whatever the league says. And so, you know, it's unfortunate, but Joey Chestnut, if he signed with Impossible Foods and the title sponsor of the most famous competitive eating competition doesn't want them, of course they're going to side with that sponsor. The other thing is, I think Joey Chestnut, I believe, represents the 408. I think he's from San Jose.
Yep. Yes.
Along with, I think, Matt Stoney, who is also a competitive eater, also is there as well. And then, you know, you're right. I will take one exception. The whole point of Impossible Foods is to be a meat replacement. Oh, so as a connoisseur of fast foods, I've had quite a few Impossible Whoppers. And, you know, they're pretty good. They're pretty tasty. Now they cost more than a normal Whopper, so I can't do those economics anymore.
Got but, you. See, Bobby, I appreciate that. For example, if I would allow Joey Chestnut to sign a contract with Bison Burger, if it's not Nathan's All Beef, it's not the same product. It's not the same product, Evan.
Well, he also only, quote-unquote, represents your brand one day a year. It isn't like he's walking around and there's a tour to Nathan's hot dog. Like, there isn't, you know, four major hot dog eating contests that are all sponsored by Nathan's. They get one. They get one day a year. And it's probably the only time I ever think about competitive eating.
Listen,
with an MLE, which is not mid-level exception.
Here's the bottom line. Joey Chestnut put Nathan's on the map, not vice versa. That segment was sponsored by Liberty Mutual.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.